Welcome to Variant Frequencies. Month to month, our podcast brings you fiction stories from a different channel. Sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and some odd bands in between. Visit us at www.variantfrequencies.com. Hello, I'm Rick Stringer. Here we are with our second story for the month of May. First of all, this story is most definitely for mature audiences. It is not work safe. Now that that is out of the way, let me tell you a little bit about our story. St. Darwin's Spirituals by D.K. Thompson is being simultaneously released on Variant Frequencies and published in issue number 4 of Murky Depths. D.K. Thompson's work has appeared on Pseudopod, Apex Online, and Murky Depths, as well as forthcoming work from Hub and Coyote Wild. A collector of rejection letters, he lives in Southern California with his wife and daughter, where he writes the most frightening of all literature, technical documentation. We have gathered some of our favorite voices for this story. First, there is Ali Groves. You all know her from the wonderful work that she has done for us in the past on Last Flight of the Esperanza and Sacrifice. Sacrifice was a finalist for a Parsec Award in 2007, and Esperanza has been nominated this year. We also have Danny Cutler. Danny is known as the Audio Addict, and is the host of her own podcast, The Truth Seekers. Danny previously narrated Slumber Party for us. Then, there is the one and only Maya Nitwich Whitaker. If you have been with us for any amount of time, then you know Maya. She is the host of Nitwich's Sci-Fi Fantasy Zone, and she is the voice of Sally and the infamous Farah of the Failed Cities Monologues by Matt Wallace. You will also get a bit of Ann Stringer, and I think you will recognize the narrator of this story. I also want to mention the artwork for St. Darwin's Spirituals. Normally, I do the artwork for Variant Frequencies. This episode is special. We are using the same artwork that is on the cover for issue number 4 of Murky Depths. The artwork is by Vincent Chong. Vincent Chong is a freelance illustrator and designer whose work has graced various books, magazines, CDs, and websites around the world. He has illustrated the works of notable authors such as Stephen King, Joe Hill, Ray Bradbury, and Ramsey Campbell, amongst others, and was the recipient of the British Fantasy Award for Best Artist in 2007. Finally, the music. We are thrilled to have permission to use some of the music by Abney Park. You will hear it in the background of the story, and we have two of their songs at the end of the story. We hope you will like what you hear, and we'll check out Abney Park at www.abneypark.com. Be sure to stick around at the end of the story for a special announcement from Variant Frequencies and Murky Depths. Now, on to our story. St. Darwin's Spirituals by D.K. Thompson. Ghost inspectors and golems patrol the streets of Whitechapel. Prostitutes turn tricks for the fever dream flesh lusts of the spiritual. And the statue of St. Darwin, the scientist who broke the barrier between the natural and the supernatural, oversees it all. Now a disciple of Darwin, a woman of skin and bone, follows a trail of blood and corpses over cobblestone streets, hoping to unravel the devastating mystery of her own life. St. Darwin's Spirituals by D.K. Thompson. The ghosts wanted a threesome, the two of them in Lucy's body. It wasn't an unheard-of proposition. In fact, most prostitutes considered psychic whoring one of the safest tricks on the streets. All the pleasures of intimacy without the messy cleanup. Ghosts had a nasty reputation for vanishing the moment after, no matter the talisman around your neck or the potion drunk before sunset. So, payments were usually collected up front. But Lucy wasn't worried about the money. Her husband was the only thing that concerned her. She adjusted her brass and leather goggles to examine the ghosts better. They looked like the average apparitions. Both were female. One spiraled around Lucy, long and curly hair obscuring her face. Large black blotches covered her body, causing her skin to peel off in patches. The other hovered several feet above the cobblestones in front of Lucy, a noose around her neck, bending it so her head hung to the left side. She crossed her arms and took several breaths, or whatever passed for breaths in the ethereal.
How long has it been since I felt someone's touch?
Lucy wondered. She remembered something her husband had said long ago, before the murders, before he'd disappeared.
Spirits linger in this world longing to be a part of it, to reconnect, to have some kind of physical sensual experience, Thomas had said. Only a host can provide them that.
Despite being a devout spiritualist, Lucy shuddered at the idea of the cadaver-like spirits making love inside her. She'd never had a ghostgasm before, much less been paid for one. But she'd do anything if it meant finding out what had become of Thomas.
I don't think it's a good idea, Rose,
said the ghost spinning around Lucy. The air trailing behind her seemed to churn like water in a boat's wake.
What's the matter, love?
Rose asked, winding the noose's end around her wrist.
She look a bit too practiced for your taste, Ethel?
Lucy felt her cheeks flush. She pulled her shawl over her shoulders and took several small breaths, all her tight corset allowed.
I would have thought my accomplishments were more of a commodity than a deterrent.
Ethel came to a halt an arm's length from Lucy's face.
To be honest, dear, you don't strike me as having much experience at all.
It was a whore. We need a rental. Besides, ours is the only experience that counts.
No, not her. I don't like it. We'll find somebody else.
She turned and shot down the street, passing through a carriage and eliciting a curse from the coachman as his horses bucked and neighed.
I don't know who walked over Ethel's grave. She shouldn't have acted like that. Sorry we wasted your time.
Lucy shrugged.
I'm not the one you're trying to make love to.
She flipped out her pocket watch and eyed the time. Still early.
Too true. Listen, you seem like a nice girl. Why don't you look me up in Westminster sometime? After you're dead, of course.
I'll consider it.
Lucy said politely, trying not to stare at the noose.
Although, I don't think you're my type.
Fair enough, dear. Now you best get off the streets. It's getting late, and it's a nasty night. I don't want to see you around my area anytime soon.
Rose said with a wink. She zoomed off in the direction Ethel had gone, the air shimmering behind her. Lucy glanced down the dark, empty cobblestone streets. The carriage Ethel had flown through started moving again, clattering hooves echoing in the night air. No one else propositioned Lucy for the next half hour as she wandered Whitechapel, which suited her just fine. There were several prostitutes working, some standing under the gas-lit street lamps alone, some talking with prospective clients, and one Lucy saw contorting on the alleyway floor in the thralls of a ghostgasm. Through her goggles, she could see the spirits twisting inside the prostitute, making love as the host writhed and moaned on the ground. The prostitute's goggles magnified her blank stare. Lucy wondered if Ethel and Rose had found an acceptable host. She peeled off her goggles. Everything looked the same as it had before, except she could no longer see the ghosts. Just the squirming prostitute who looked like she was having a seizure. She quickened her pace, her footfalls drowning out the groans behind her. Lucy rounded the corner and bumped into a golem deputy, its solid clay frame knocking her off balance. It glanced at her, yellow eyes dancing from the flames lit inside his mouth, then continued to trudge down the street. When the church bells struck midnight, Lucy sat on a bench, kicked off her shoes to rub her feet, and stared at the statue of St. Charles Darwin in the center of the courtyard. His trademark invention, a pair of goggles, covered his eyes. He sat in his chair and seemed to look down at her, clutching his Origin of the Species essay in one hand, and his Origin of the Spirits in the other, as if pondering their implications.
Sometimes I wish you hadn't have invented these damn things. Sometimes it makes me feel so small and insignificant when I look through your lenses.
The bells finished ringing with a hollow sound. Lucy twisted her goggles in her hands and thought about how alone she was, how alone they all seemed to be. She thought about Thomas and wondered what had happened to him. It stayed very quiet and dark for a long time, and finally Lucy decided to go home. She considered a different route to avoid the prostitute, but decided she must surely be finished by now. When she heard the moans, she almost didn't look, but curiosity got the better of her, and she glanced down the alley. The prostitute hanged upside down in the air, shuddering, tentacles wrapped around her body from something perched on a windowsill, grunting as several of the many mouths layered over its body tore into her flesh. It hunched over the woman, nearly twice her size. Not a vampire gone rogue, as the papers had speculated. At least not the kind of vampires Lucy had seen before. It was much too large for that, its body a misshapen thorax sprouting razor-sharp claws and tentacles. The other woman's lifeless, empty gaze stared past Lucy, her goggles shattered on the cobblestones. Lucy pulled her goggles back on, hoping for some trace of the ghosts. There was none. She had played this scene out thousands of times in her imagination since Thomas had disappeared. She felt relief more than panic. She reached beneath her dress, unstrapped the single-chamber pistol from her thigh, uttered a spell Thomas had taught her, and fired. The creature shrieked, so loud Lucy almost dropped her pistol to cover her ears, and reared back on its tentacles. It dropped the prostitute headfirst to the ground, her skull cracking open across the pavement, blood and bits of brain splattering Lucy. Lucy jumped back, pulling a round from her pocket, trying to ready the pistol for another shot. The bullet slipped through her fingers and slid between the cobblestones. She reached for another. Too late. The monster landed in front of her. She stumbled backward, fumbled with the pistol, and fell. The creature slithered over the prostitute's body toward her, propelling itself on its tentacles. One of the tentacles snapped out and coiled around Lucy's waist. She felt the foul breath on her, stinking of blood and meat, as it dragged her forward. Its many mouths opened and thin. Serpent-like tongues flicked out of each one. She clenched her teeth and thrust another bullet into the chamber. She couldn't see its eyes, so she took aim at one of the mouths and fired. Black, phlegm-like liquid exploded out the other side of the monster. It howled, released her, and scurried back, then rose up on its tentacles and roared again. Lucy moved faster this time, another bullet already in the pistol.
My name's Lucy Stone, you bastard.
The practiced speech coming easy.
I believe you're acquainted with my husband, Thomas.
The creature paused at her voice and hissed for a moment. She thought it might respond. Then it opened the mouths lining its thorax, flashing jagged white and bloody teeth, and hunched back. She fired again, the shot grazing the monster's body. It shrieked and slithered backward over the dead prostitute, then whipped its tentacles out and slung up the walls. By the time Lucy reloaded, the creature had disappeared. Bells sounded in the distance, higher pitched than the churches. The paranormal patrol. Her waist burned where the tentacle had wrapped around her, but there wasn't any blood. The patrol rounded the corner, bells ringing fast and loud as Lucy got to her feet. A pair of golems trotted beside the carriage, their dull, gleaming eyes surveying the street. Lucy didn't think they'd seen her. Not yet. She sprang to her feet and into the alley. A shrill whistle sounded and heavy footsteps pounded behind her. The golems picking up speed, the lenses of her goggles fogged, so she pulled them down. They bounced against her neck as she ran, the pistol clutched in her hand. She wouldn't kill a constable. She'd rather turn herself in and face the consequences. But she had no qualms shooting a golem. They weren't alive to begin with. Steam poured from ventilation shafts on the walls, blinding her. More than once she glanced up at the rooftops, hoping to get a trace of the creature. A golem lurched out through the steam, arms open wide. She bounced off its chest and hit the ground. The golem picked her up, its massive gray arms damp and sweating from the steam, and flung her against the brick wall. She landed in a puddle of what smelled of piss and vomit, bits of clay sticking to her skin and clothes where the golem had touched her. She rolled to her side, leveled her pistol at the golem, and fired. Clay exploded around its chest and the golem flinched from the force of the shot, but its eyes maintained that yellow gleam as it lumbered toward her. There wasn't time to reload, but she reached for another bullet. The golem stretched out its giant wet hands toward her.
"That's enough!"
shouted someone above her.
"Stand down, deputy!"
The golem froze. Lucy fell back against the wall, tugged her goggles back on to see a pair of spirits descend through the night air toward them.
"Police, stay where you are."
Lucy caught her breath as Ethel and Rose descended beside her, feet hovering over the ground, both of them frowning. Rose crossed her arms.
"You again?"
"You two are police, but you solicited me. You wanted to have sex with me."
"Not with you, with each other. You were just a warm body."
"We're paranormal officers. We've been trying to find this monster before it killed again.
And instead of it, we found you, assaulting an officer of the law, after fleeing a murder scene. What's a whore like you doing walking the streets at night with a pistol?"
"Working. It's become something of a dangerous profession."
"Come off it. You're no prostitute. What are you doing dressed like one? Don't you realise something's about killing girls?"
"That's exactly why I'm doing it."
"What are you, a nutter? A vigilante?"
She looked down at her clothes, the pistol in her hand, uncertain how to answer them. She bit her lip. What was she doing? She wasn't any closer to finding out what had happened to Thomas.
"You don't want to tell us? That's fine. There's other ways to find out what we want to know."
And before Lucy could mutter any incantations or use a talisman against her, Rose dove into her body. Lucy staggered, saw images from her past being splayed out and dissected in her mind's eye, felt Rose's thin, transparent fingers smudging her thoughts and memories, sifting through anything that looked significant to her. Thomas was there, telling her about the reports he'd received, prostitutes whose death didn't concern the police. He took the matter into his own hands, like a good spiritualist, hoping to learn and document this new creature, hoping to save lives by understanding it. He started spending nights on the streets, armed with goggles, talismans, enchantments, and a pistol. He questioned prostitutes and pimps, tried to understand where the girls were going, what was happening to them, and why no one cared. Lucy saw herself sitting in the kitchen, waiting for him to return. He'd walk in the door, dark circles sagging under his eyes, and talk for hours about the monster roaming the streets. How it stayed in the shadows, eviscerated its victims in a mess of blood and pulp, their ghost never appearing. He was out every night in the company of whores. They argued, so often, so long, and hard. They eventually stopped talking. Thomas went days between coming home. Then one morning, he didn't come home at all. Rose trampled through it all, the frayed end of her noose dangling behind her, clouding Lucy's memories. Every moment with Thomas, every argument they had, every time they made love. In that lifetime of seconds, Thomas seemed closer than he'd been even before he'd disappeared. And yet, Rose hovered above every instance, staring, prying. Lucy wanted to scream. They stood in the alley watching the prostitute's ghostgasm.
"Do I look like that now?"
Then saw her dead eyes as the creature dropped her, mouths gnashing as it advanced on Lucy, tongues flicking out like little imitations of the larger tentacles, gunshots. When Rose vanished, a cold emptiness filled Lucy, leaving her alone with memories that didn't feel at all like her own anymore, hollow and violated. a stranger in her own skin. She opened her eyes and fell to the ground, gagging. Ethel was shouting about abuse in the law. Lucy pulled one of Thomas's talismans from around her neck.
Sweet Jesus and Mary, she saw it. She saw the thing.
You saw it?
Ethel asked, rounding on her just as Lucy slammed her fist through Rose's temporal body. Rose shrieked in pain, flickering in and out of existence, spinning out of control into the night sky.
You bitch! You had no right. If you weren't dead, I'd kill you myself.
Ethel phased against Lucy, slamming her to the ground.
Where'd you get a grounder?
Ask your friend. My husband was a spiritualist. He taught me a thing or two before that monster got him.
Ethel's eyes widened.
Your husband? But that's impossible. All the victims have been women.
Don't argue with her, Ethel.
Rose said. She still flickered, although it came more sporadically now, and she narrowed her eyes at Lucy.
Not now. We need to get up to the roof. It's up there somewhere. We'll deal with her later. The deputy will watch her.
The golem stepped forward.
I'm going with ya.
No, you'll only slow us down.
And without another word, the two ghosts shot upward, disappearing into the wall. Lucy actually did wait, for several moments. Then she picked up the pistol and fired it point blank at the golem's face. It stumbled backward, clay spraying the wall behind it. Without waiting to see if the fire went out of its mouth, Lucy turned and dashed into the building. Halfway up the stairs, she met the creature again. The monster moved faster this time, less surprised than Lucy. Its tentacles lashed out, knocking the pistol to the floor and coiling around Lucy's neck. Her feet hit the steps as it dragged her up. Her throat burned from the tentacles' touch. It slammed her against the banister. Wood splintered and cut into her back. She kicked again and managed to look below her, saw the ground several stories below. The many mouths opened and the tongues slid out. Lucy felt the bristles of some of them touch her, stinging. It was smelling her through those bristles. Somehow she knew that.
Why did you take Thomas?
She couldn't bring herself to ask if she was still alive. Rose's invasion of her body and memories had brought everything back to the surface, swimming just before her eyes. Some of the mouths grinned back at her, their teeth dripping with saliva and blood. Moans and growls came from the monster. Voices echoed inside Lucy's head, growing louder instead of fading. So loud she screamed. Some of the voices matched the mouths. They weren't united. Instead, they drowned each other out, hollow whispers filling her thoughts. Then one of the voices surfaced above the others.
Thomas?
It hissed. The voice wet and fleshy. For a moment, the other mouths kept moving but became silent. In the distance, Lucy thought she heard a thudding sound.
It's just my pulse,
she thought. Laughter spilled from several of the mouths until the rest joined in, mocking her in chorus. She pulled at the tentacle, tried to loosen it. It burned into her hand, but she didn't let go.
You are alone.
The tentacle tightened around Lucy's neck.
Thomas was alone too.
What did you do to him?
The mouths opened in response, then stopped. The thudding sound grew louder, closer. Lucy looked down the stairwell as the golem deputy turned the corner, thumping up the steps, gaping holes in its chest and head. The monster tossed Lucy against the wall and sent its tentacles at the deputy. The golem brushed them off with ease and leapt at it. Together, golem and monster careened into the stairwell's void, a tangle of clay and tentacles. Lucy scrambled to her feet and looked over the broken banister. The monster was gone, but the golem had crashed into the floor, its soft clay skin misshapen. It didn't move. Although its yellow eyes stared up at her with that dull gaze, they were dimmed, flickering out. And Lucy huddled against the wall and waited until Ethel and Rose found her. Alone, it had said. And it had been right. She was certainly alone. The two ghosts had flown over Whitechapel's rooftops, searching for the beast, they told Lucy. After scanning the rooftop closer, they found the trail of thick, dark blood leading back into the building. And Lucy.
Someone must have been watching out for you, Mrs. Stone,
Ethel said. after Lucy explained what had happened.
Do you think so?
She stood on the clay-speckled tile floor. Constables bustled in and out of the door, each wearing goggles. The building residents stood on the stairwell and talked about what they'd seen.
I wonder why he wasn't watching out for the other pool girls as well then. Or your Gollum deputy.
Christ. Are you one of those fashionable Darwin slandering cultists trying to deny spirituality?
Of course not. I can't deny it's there, but...
She said and tapped her goggles.
Sometimes, when I'm too tired, when I don't want to see, I just want to take them off. It's so easy to deny everything then. And I think maybe I believe more when I'm almost able to deny it.
Yeah, that's rational,
Rose said, shaking her crooked neck.
Is that why you believe your husband's dead? Because you never saw the body?
What? You saw what happened. That thing killed my husband.
I didn't see any such thing.
Mrs. Stone, have you considered that maybe your husband isn't dead? He spent a significant amount of time in the company of prostitutes. It's possible he's still alive.
No. He wouldn't do that. We argued a lot before he left, but he loved me. He wouldn't just leave. He must be dead.
Will you help us then?
Something in Rose's eyes made her go cold, but Lucy still nodded.
What are you suggesting? That we endanger the life of an innocent? A civilian?
We need a host to catch this thing. You know that. There's no other way. She wants to help. I say let her.
A host? Why?
Didn't you wonder what happened to the ghosts inside the whore you saw?
I don't know. They flew away.
Lucy, we've been on the streets looking for this thing since before your husband disappeared, searching for a spirit this thing disembodied. We've never found one. In fact, you're the first thing, living or dead, that's been able to tell us what it looks like.
How can that be? I've studied Darwin. A person leaves some kind of imprint on this world when they die, even if they end up moving on to the next plane of existence.
Yes, but what about ghosts? Do they leave anything behind?
What? Ghosts can't die.
It said you were alone. We don't think it was talking about you on the staircase by yourself. We think it was talking about the spirits inside of you. You only had your own. This thing isn't just killing any prostitute. It's killing prostitutes having ghostgasms. It's killing ghosts.
So you want to use me? You want to come inside me and make me bait?
Out of the question. Absolutely not.
You were already trying to bait it earlier.
That's why you tried to solicit me tonight, isn't it? You didn't want sex. You wanted to catch that thing.
Not exactly. A little companionship is always welcome.
Rose said, pulling the slack out of the noose around her neck.
That's enough, Rose.
Lucy thought if Ethel had been flesh and blood, she would have blushed.
So what do you say, Lucy? Can we have sex with you for queen and country?
What will it feel like?
Lucy asked them the following night. She'd met Ethel and Rose only several blocks from where the last victim had been murdered.
You've never done it before? I don't know, do I? Never experienced it from your end.
Ethel peeled a flap of her skin back and forth.
Aren't you a spiritualist?
Lucy didn't reply. She'd been married to Thomas since she was 17, and the idea of sharing that part of herself with someone else, physical or spiritual, made her feel unfaithful. She'd spent hours of the day researching what Darwin had written about the experience in preparation of the deed. An out-of-body experience was how the saint had described it. Looking at Ethel, and Rose's decrepit forms floating beside her, the idea struck her as less than romantic.
Lucy, you should know, ghosts lose control when they're inside a host. We'll try and be mindful, but we'll need you to be on the lookout too.
Lucy thought of the ghostgasm she'd witnessed. How the host looked like she'd had less control of her body than the ghosts.
I understand.
Are you ready?
Lucy nodded.
Enough wasting time then.
And with that, the two ghosts flew into her body, exploding inside her. St. Darwin had been right. It was like an out-of-body experience. She glided over her own body and saw Rose and Ethel moving inside her, against one another, clutching each other close. Wet kisses peppered her neck, sending a shock down her spine. A tongue filled her mouth and hands cupped her breast while another pair traced her hips, pulling her tight. Fingers slid between her legs, tender, exploring inside her. Lucy's breath quickened as she felt the growing warmth there. Whoever had told her this wasn't messy hadn't been completely honest. She closed her eyes, tried to imagine Thomas. It worked for a little while. She felt it all happening to her, even though she was on the outside. Then she saw herself alone, twitching on the ground, her back arching. She tried to swallow back tears, but could taste their salty warmth as the joy spilled over her, rushing between her legs, throbbing. From her strange perspective, Lucy watched her own body glow as the ghosts moaned and cried out. Lucy cried with them, saw the tears streaking her own face.
Thomas!
She sobbed.
Thomas!
In the distance, bells began to ring. Everything went cold. Lucy looked up and saw it slithering forward, toward them, its mouths open and tentacles stretching out.
It's here! Ethel! Rose!
She felt the ghosts disentangling themselves, trying to exit her body.
Police, we've got golems surrounding you. Lucy! Lucy, what are you doing?
But Lucy ignored her and swooped toward the monster, dodging the tentacles and spikes swinging about, and dove inside the beast. It was the opposite of having Ethel and Rose in her. All the bliss fled, replaced by a humid, sticky sensation. She wasn't alone. Spirits surrounded her, their forms as destroyed as the physical victims. Lucy felt their hands grab at her dress, her hair, pulling her down further into the darkness.
Thomas!
She cried, trying to free herself.
Where are you?
One of the spirits gripped Lucy. A prostitute the monster had eviscerated. Her insides hung out, squishing against Lucy.
Help me!
She wailed. Lucy yanked her arm away.
Thomas!
Where was he? He had to be here. Somewhere. An arm wrapped around Lucy's neck, pulled her up.
What the hell are you doing?
I can't find Thomas!
He's not here! He was never here!
He has to be!
Thomas!
The eviscerated spirit floated close to them, but this time didn't touch her.
Spiritualist? It didn't kill him.
A deeper sense of dread filled Lucy.
How do you know?
Something cold and wet dripped on Lucy before the ghost could answer. She looked up and saw Rose's spirit melting.
Lucy!
Go! Hurry!
Around her, the faces and spirits closed in. The other spirits' screams built in her mind, the way the voices had on the stairwell. Rose pulled once more. This time, Lucy let her. She sat up, gagging, the scent of stale sex clinging to her clothes. The golem deputies had pinned the creature's tentacles down, securing its body. One of the tentacles had impaled something shimmering, and as the glow faded, Lucy realized what it was.
Ethel?
The ghost only twisted with the tentacle, made no move to break free. Rose flashed beside the monster, prying at its thorax as the golems held it. It twitched and turned, going through its own ghost chasm. Then a howl broke out from all the mouths and the thorax split open. A blinding light washed out the darker street. The ghosts fluttered into the air, shimmering in all their dead glory. She watched each of them fly out of the monster's body and waited for Thomas to appear, even though something inside her knew he would not. Rose descended beside Ethel's flickering spirit, tried to cradle her lover in her arms, but instead slid right through her.
No!
Lucy stumbled toward them.
Rose?
The ghost said nothing.
What happened? How'd we get out when the others were trapped?
Maybe because it didn't kill us. Because we invaded it. I didn't think much of it. I was just following you.
Ethel flickered one last time and then disappeared. The monster's tentacles stopped twitching.
I don't understand. You're already dead.
You saw what happened when you used the grounder on me.
What did almost happen?
Rose shook her head.
The beginning? The end? I don't know.
Maybe there's something more out there. Something we can't see.
Maybe. And maybe there isn't.
Lucy pulled off her goggles. Rose vanished, and Lucy heard the golems pulling at the creature's empty husk behind her. She did not feel alone. Rose had been explicit. Nobody could know what happened. That something had been killing ghosts. Keeping the golems quiet hadn't been a problem, but the idea of covering it up bothered Lucy. She argued with Rose and the police in St. Darwin's name. Something like this must be studied, not hidden. That was the only way to understand it. Keeping it quiet perhaps made it worse. Once the murders stopped, police and newspapers were bombarded with helpful tips and even a few confessions. Lucy considered going to the papers herself, explaining to them what had really happened. Then Rose came to her and told her they'd found Thomas's body. He'd been killed in an alleyway outside a brothel, Rose said, then dragged inside and hidden in a wine cellar. They weren't sure how long he'd been dead, but it had been before Rose and Ethel had solicited her. Lucy realized how the prostitute had known the monster hadn't killed Thomas, because she or her pimp had. Unfortunately, the police could not find Thomas's disembodied spirit. Lucy saw Thomas almost every day after that, through the trolley windows on busy street corners, his reflection in the mirror, framed behind her in the doorway. He'd be there for only a second, then disappear. He always looked the same, the trace of a sad smile buried on his face. When this happened, Lucy would peel her goggles off and close her eyes. The spirit seemed to linger, and Lucy could almost feel him hovering, just beyond her reach. End. For Emma, who doesn't need goggles.
Proved.
Thank you for listening to St. Darwin's Spirituals by D.K. Thompson, narrated by Rick Stringer, with the voice talents of Allie Groves, Danny Cutler, Maya Whitaker, and Ann Stringer, with music by Abney Park. Terry Martin, the managing editor and publisher of Murky Depths, has offered us 2 copies of Murky Depths issue number 4 to give away. Each issue will be signed by the author of St. Darwin's Spirituals, D.K. Thompson, and signed by the cover artist, Vincent Chong. Here are the rules. Send an email to variantfrequencies@gmail.com with the subject Murky Depths Contest. In the email, you will need to tell us the name of one other story that appears in issue number 4 of Murky Depths. It is easy to find out the names of the other stories by going to murkydepths.com. 2 winners will be drawn from the list of people who send us the correct answer. All entries must be in by May 31st, 2008. We will announce the winners on our podcast in June. To find out more about Variant Frequencies, please go to our website at www.variantfrequencies.com. If you like Variant Frequencies, tell your friends about us. Thank you from the Variant Frequencies team, Matt Wallace, Ann Stringer, and Rick Stringer.
Consider this promo a controlled substance. Only one drug can bring the visceral and the sublime together in a single trip. Where the best and the worst of the human drive boils down into a techno-art concoction that's half street-level heaven and half the fiery beauty of hell. From Matt Wallace, Parsec award-winning author of The Failed Cities Monologues, this is The Next Fix. Kick back to the strains of Earth's Last Top 40 as the final human DJ sends a shout-out over the last frequency. Step into the hard-boiled beauty of the Losting Corridor, where that which once escaped a man is met again. Tool up with a lone cop who polices the terrifying carrion underground of the future as you seek the end of flesh. Experience one of the most unique and captivating imaginations in fiction today, collected for the first time anywhere in print and featuring 12 original stories and 1 full-length novella, The Next Fix by Matt Wallace.
Hi, this is Mer Lafferty from I Should Be Writing and Playing for Keeps and a bunch of other stuff. But I just wanted to say that Matt Wallace is big like Bear. He is smart like Bear. And he writes like Bear. Scary stories that roar at you and make you look for the closest tree to climb. Maybe if you roll over and play dead, the next fix won't bite. Maybe.
Matt Wallace serves up two-fisted literary action, if, of course, your fists are half-cybernetic, the size of ham hocks, and covered in broken glass.
Hey, everybody. J.C. Hutchins, author of the Seventh Son podcast novel trilogy here. Matt Wallace is the boogeyman in your closet. He's the monster under your bed. He's the shadow that slides along the walls. Matt Wallace's writing is so compelling and so terrifying that you'll keep turning the pages, addicted to his work, questing for the next fix.
Pre-order your copy today in limited edition hardcover from ApexBookCompany.com and have it personally inscribed by the author himself. Are you ready for the next fix?
Emotions as it has for 2,000 years. infected.